Well, tonight we're going to finish our study in the book of Philippians that we started last Sunday. I really and truly hope that these lessons have been helpful for you, at least as much as they've been helpful for me. They've been incredibly helpful for me in strengthening my faith and helping me to see what our service to the Lord is really all about. I wish we could have spent more time in the book of Philippians, but I chose to condense it because I didn't want us to get too bogged down in the book of Philippians, that there is so much that we could have talked about from this book. I think we've just barely scratched the surface about this book, but as I said, I hope that it is helpful to us. Tonight we're going to be focusing our time on Philippians chapter 4. And as we think about the book of Philippians this last night, we would be amiss if we didn't talk about joy when we talk about Philippians, because joy is such a strong theme in this book. Does it surprise you that as Paul is in prison, thinking about his future, thinking about his circumstances, he stood before Caesar, he doesn't know where he's going to end up. He doesn't know where if he's going to end up in prison for life. He doesn't know if he's going to be executed or tortured for life. He doesn't even know if he's going to be released. But yet he writes this book of joy. He writes this book in which he shares his joy with the brethren. We looked at Philippians chapter 1 where Paul says he rejoices in his circumstances. He rejoices that Christ is proclaimed in his imprisonment. He writes that he wants to share his joy with the Philippians. And then he tells them to share your joy with me. Share your love. Share in this joy together. And so as he's closing this book, he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Of all the blessings God has given us to enjoy right now, and we've got a lot of blessings to enjoy in eternity one day in the future, but he's also given us blessings to enjoy right now. And of all those things he's given us to enjoy today, I think joy is one of the ones that we don't take advantage of as often as we ought to. Paul's joy overflowed in his circumstances. And how often does our joy in Christ overflow in our circumstances? We might be happy people generally. You might have a jovial personality. You might have some good things happen to you every now and then. But how can we truly say that we have joy in Christ in abundance, like Paul did? Have you ever thought about what it would be like to be in prison? Paul was writing this letter from prison. Have you ever talked to someone who's in prison? Perhaps you've done that. Perhaps you've had close contact with prisoners yourself through your work or something else. If you've ever had any close contact with prisoners, you know how hard it is to be joyful in those circumstances. I mean, those people in prison, they face loneliness, they face isolation, they face depression, they face worldly influences. A person who's in prison, they're not in there with good, lovely people. Think about it. They're in there with people who have filthy mouths, filthy minds. They've done filthy things. The reason that they're in there is because they've done bad things, or at least have been charged with bad things. So this is a very difficult circumstance that for anybody to be in. Paul is writing this letter from prison, from his incarceration. Now, the book of Acts chapter 28 tells us that Paul was able to rent a house. And so he was in a house at this point in Rome. We don't know what his circumstance exactly was like. We don't know if it was better than being in a dungeon, being in a prison cell. But whatever it is, he was in prison. His liberty was taken away from him. He didn't have the ability to just go wherever he pleased. He was in chains. And I wonder if Paul suffered some of these same temptations, these struggles that any prisoner would face, loneliness and depression and sadness. But yet, despite all of that, Paul writes this letter of joy. And he says, I want you to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. You would think that it would be the Philippians that would be writing to Paul saying, you know, to encourage him in his circumstances. But no, it's Paul writing to the Philippians, telling them to rejoice, encouraging and uplifting them. What kind of a letter would you write if you were in prison? I wonder if I would write a letter like Philippians. I'm not sure that I would. But Paul writes a letter of joy. So tonight I want us to think about joy in Christ. I want to ask three questions this evening. First of all, what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Secondly, where can I find this joy? I want this joy. How can I have it? And thirdly, we're going to talk about just some practical ways that we can express our joy in Christ. First of all, we need to think about what it means to rejoice in the Lord. What kind of a joy does Paul mean whenever he says, rejoice in the Lord? We need to understand that this is a very special kind of joy. A lot of times we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and we take it out of the context. Sometimes you might see that verse posted on a motivational poster, or maybe cross-stitched and hung on a wall, or you might see it on a Facebook post. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And there's nothing wrong with I mean, this is a great verse to use in those circumstances. But when we just take it out of the context without considering the context of Philippians and why Paul writes it and the circumstances behind Paul's letter, we don't understand really what he's talking about here. This isn't just a just be happy no matter what happens to you kind of joy. This isn't Paul saying you just don't ever be discouraged, you shouldn't ever be depressed, you shouldn't ever struggle or talk about your ailments, you shouldn't ever feel down. That's not what he's saying here. I imagine Paul, in his circumstance in prison, had a temptation to feel, perhaps he did feel down sometimes. We know from the book of Acts that the Lord appeared to him one time saying, don't be discouraged. Which means that Paul was discouraged at one point. There's nothing wrong with being discouraged. This isn't a superficial happiness that's based upon our circumstances. But what it is, it's something more than that. The first thing we need to understand about this joy is that it is found in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, in chapter 3, Philippians verse 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The fact that we can rejoice in the Lord shows us that there is something that we can be found, some joy that we can find in our relationship with Christ. Jesus is the source of this joy. It's not our circumstances. We don't find this joy especially in the things that happen to us, although that can be good sometimes. But this joy is found in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And this is a very special type of joy. You know, not everybody can rejoice in the Lord. Those who have chosen to not be in the Lord, those who are out in the world, who have chosen to reject the Lord, cannot have this kind of joy. But you and I, as Christians, those of us who are in the Lord, we can have this kind of joy. This is a very unique joy. It's not a joy that the world understands. And I don't say that because I don't want the world to enjoy it. I want with all my heart for the world to know this type of joy. But they've chosen not to. But we as Christians, we can choose to know this joy because we are in the Lord. Because of our relationship with Him. We need to understand that this is a gift to us. We opened the lesson this evening talking about the fact that this is a gift to enjoy. This is a gift. It's a part of our relation. It's a privilege that we can rejoice in the Lord. And the reason that this joy is so unique is that this kind of joy, as mind-boggling as this might seem, this kind of joy is possible even when we're in tough situations. Like when Paul was in prison, he had a lot of things to be depressed about. He had a lot of reasons to complain, a lot of reasons to not have joy at all. But yet somehow he found within himself some reason to write this letter of joy. Something in his relationship with the Lord told him that I can rejoice even though I'm suffering in my circumstances. This is possible even in pain. What that tells us, the fact that Paul wrote this letter while in prison and said rejoice, tells us that this is a joy that's not dependent on our circumstances. You know, we go through ups and downs in life. We do that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you before. But one day you wake up and you feel pretty good. You know, but then the next day you wake up and absolutely nothing has changed about your situation. You've had no tragic accidents. You have good health. Everything is just good and dandy in your life. But you wake up the very next day and you feel awful. And you just want to complain and think about negative things all day. That happens to us sometimes. We go through ups and downs based upon our circumstances and based upon just the way we feel. But you know what Paul says here? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. What that means is that this is a joy that can be found no matter how we feel. This is a joy that can be found no matter what our circumstances are. Even if you are in pain, even if you are in suffering, we can find joy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. This is a wonderful blessing that we have. You know, we can't always control the way we feel. We certainly can't always control what happens to us. And we certainly can't always control the way we feel about what happens to us. Sometimes we do feel pain. Sometimes we do feel sadness. But you know, the thing that we can control is our reaction to our circumstances. Our attitude in our circumstances, that's what Paul's talking about. He's not just saying, well, just be happy. You know, it's hard to be happy whenever you're in pain. But we can find joy in the Lord whenever we are suffering. This joy is not the absence of pain or suffering. We need to understand that happiness is the absence of, whenever you're happy because something is good in your life. Something good has happened to you and you feel happy about it. You feel good about it. But this joy doesn't mean we don't have any pain or suffering. It's not the absence of that. In fact, in the book of Philippians, Paul acknowledges that he does experience some negative things. If you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14, look what he says to the Philippians. He's thanking them for their gift that they've sent him through Epaphroditus. And he says, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Paul was in need while he was in prison. He was afflicted in prison. And in chapter 3 and verse 10, he talks about that I may know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. He talks about sufferings there and the reality of sufferings. It's not that Paul is ignoring the fact that he's going through sufferings. He acknowledges those things. Readily he acknowledges them. But somehow he's able to find joy in the Lord. In chapter 2 in verse 27, Paul is talking to the Philippians about Epaphroditus and how somewhere between Philippi and Rome, whenever Epaphroditus was carrying this gift, he fell sick to the point of death. And he says, for indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. You know, I think about this verse sometimes when I preach funerals. Unfortunately, I've preached several funerals since I've been here. I don't like doing that, but it's a necessity. But I think about this verse and Paul's reaction to what would have happened if Epaphroditus, his friend, would have died. He said, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. Truly, there is nothing wrong with shedding tears and having an incredible amount of sorrow at the death of a brother or sister in Christ. It's only natural for that to... You know, Jesus shed tears. Jesus wept at the death of his loved one, of Lazarus, his friend. And so this joy is not just ignoring suffering. It is not the absence of suffering, but somehow it is finding something to rejoice in despite our circumstances. And what this joy really is, it is a peaceful confidence that is based upon the one who is greater than our circumstances. That one who is the Lord of our circumstances. That one who has control of everything that happens to us. He is the one who is faithful. And he is the one who is just. And when we put our confidence in him, then we can have some measure of peace. When we trust in him. When we put our lives in his hands and we say, Lord, my circumstances are not great. My circumstances are not pleasant. But you, Lord, are in control. And that can give us an amount of peace. It's found in Jesus Christ Himself. Remember, this is a peace, or this is a joy in the Lord. It's not a joy in our circumstances, but it's a joy in the Lord despite our circumstances. It is a restful assurance, knowing that God is in control of all things. And He is in control of all things. He is able to deliver us from our circumstances, no matter what they are. And we can find peace in that. In the book of Philippians, Paul found peace. He found joy in several things. He found joy in his salvation in Christ. He knew that he was a child of God. He knew that he was a servant. And so he understood that one day he would be delivered from this life. No, Paul didn't like being in prison. He didn't like his circumstances. But he looked forward to, and he put his trust and his hope in his deliverance in Christ one day, his salvation, going to heaven. Paul looked forward to the resurrection. We looked this morning at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11, where Paul strives to attain to the resurrection from the dead. He looked forward to that. We also looked at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, where Paul says that Jesus will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. You know, when we go through sufferings in this life, particularly if they're related to our health, if we struggle with physical ailments, you know, that can be a reminder to us that one day our bodies aren't going to struggle with those things. We can have an opportunity to look forward to the body of His glory that we'll be given one day. And Paul found joy in these things. This joy is a comfort in His committed, faithful care. You know, when Jesus came to this earth and He gave His life for us on the cross, what He was telling us is, I'm committed to you. God was telling us that I love you this much, that I'm going to send my Son. And the Bible tells us that if God was willing to send His own Son, is He going to withhold anything from us? What else is God going to withhold from us that we need in these moments? The fact that God loves us and the fact that Jesus has come to die for us can give us some comfort. Shows us that God is committed to us and giving us our care. When we think about sufferings and depression, I think a lot about the Psalms. When you read the book of Psalms, there is a lot of these Psalms that are really quite depressing. The psalmist sometimes expressed a great deal of pain and sadness to the Lord. For example, if you go back to Psalm 69, this is one that's written by David, who was a man after God's own heart, but yet you look at his life and he suffered a great deal of things. He suffered depression. He suffered loneliness. And this is a psalm that he wrote out of sadness, out of depression. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I've sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overwhelms me. I am weary with crying, and my throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." Basically, what he's saying there is, I have cried my eyes out before the Lord. I have no more tears left because of my circumstances. In verse 20, he says, "Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none." And what David is doing is he's expressing his feelings to God. They're feelings of depression, feelings of remorse, of great sadness, of great reproach. His heart is broken. And this is an example that shows us that there is a proper outlet for those feelings. Sometimes we do feel those feelings. And in those cases, take them to God in prayer. It's not wrong to tell God the things that you're feeling. But then David, while he's writing this psalm, something happens. And as he ends the psalm, look what he says in verse 30. He says, "I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners." Wait a minute. Just a while ago, David was writing about his depression and his sadness and how he was feeling so lonely. But here he writes that he's going to praise the Lord. I think this teaches us that David knew something of the joy of the Lord. He trusted in God. He says in verse 33, "The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners." What he found joy in was that God was with him no matter where he was, even if he's a prisoner. Find joy in the Lord. This is the kind of joy that Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 4. It's a joy that's found despite our circumstances. Well, all of us want to feel this joy. All of us want this type of joy, but how can we find it? Where can we find this joy? Well, there are several things that Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, several places we can find this joy. We can find it in prayer. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Again, Paul isn't telling us that we should never, ever feel depressed or ever feel worried. What he tells us is that whenever you do feel those things, take them to God in prayer. Because God cares for you. Peter says, "Cast your cares on Him. Cast your worries on Him. And God will bear those for us. He will help us in those circumstances." There are all kinds of things that can take our joy away. Worries. You think of all the things that we worry about on a regular basis. It's a lot. Fears can take away our joy. Doubts. Being overwhelmed. Unconfessed sins. Things that we've done wrong that we've not reconciled with God or with other people. Those things can take our joy away. But what Paul tells us to do with those things is don't just let them sit inside. But if you want to find peace, if you want to find joy in the Lord, then pray to God. Cast those cares upon Him with prayer and supplication. But He also says do it with thanksgiving. We must come to Him with an attitude of gratitude, being thankful for what we have. And by doing that, that also helps us find this joy. And it's such a relief that we have this avenue to come to God in prayer and appeal to Him, because when we do that, Paul says, God promises peace which surpasses understanding. And I think that peace, which guards our hearts and our minds, it is very closely related to this joy that we're talking about. When God gives us this peace, when we trust ourselves to Him, then we can find this joy. So pray to find this joy. We also understand that we can think about positive things to find this joy. Paul continues in verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." We ought to be filling our minds with positive things, good things. And sometimes we wake up in the morning and we just want to complain. We want things to be awful in our lives. And we certainly don't do ourselves a favor when we constantly pondering and constantly dwelling on the negative things that have happened to us. And if we so choose to do that, we're going to be pessimistic about everything. But we ought not to do that. We ought not to develop an attitude of pessimism or cynicism about ourselves or people around us or the world. What Paul says, we ought to think about those things which are true. I don't know if you've ever done this, but sometimes we start to worry about things that are really not true. We start to think about all the possible things that can happen and worry about all the possible circumstances, all the possible things that could befall us or our family. But those things aren't true. Those things haven't happened. There's no need to worry about those things. Think about the things that are true, things that are about honorable, things that are right. It's amazing what will happen when we choose to think about good things. You know, this joy that we're talking about tonight, it is not something that just happens to us by accident, but it's something that we choose to do. It is a mindset. It is a state of mind. It is an attitude. And you and I have every control over our attitude. And we can choose to be joyful or we can choose not to be joyful. We can choose to think about our positive things or we can choose not to. Which are you going to choose? You know, the choice is yours. We can choose to rejoice in the Lord. It's not something that just happens to us. So if you want to find it, choose joy. We can also find joy in one another. Paul talks about in the book of Philippians how he rejoiced in his fellowship, in his relationship with these Christians at Philippi. And you notice what he says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. As he's opening this letter, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Paul prayed for the Philippians. He thanked God for them, but he also thanked God with joy. When was the last time you thanked God joyfully for your brethren in Christ? Sometimes we look negatively at one another. We ought not to do that. But how often do we pray? And we often pray for the health of each other. We pray that God will strengthen each other, you know, heal each other. But how often do we thank God for each other? You know, we are a family, and we ought to be thankful for each other. Do you find joy in your brethren? Again, Paul says in chapter 4, in verse 1, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. He calls the Philippian church his joy and his crown. You know, Paul had taught these Christians the gospel. And he had a special relationship with them. He had a special longing for them. Because of that, he was kind of, in a sense, their father in the faith. And so that's why he calls them his joy and his crown. He rejoiced to see them whenever they were growing and rejoiced to see them standing firm in the Lord. He rejoiced to see them unified and growing in their faith and their love and preaching the gospel to their community. He rejoiced in all that. Do we rejoice whenever we see each other growing? Do we rejoice in our relationship and our fellowship with each other at all? We can find joy in our brethren in Christ. We can also find joy when we consider our hope in Christ. We talked about this earlier. The fact that our citizenship is in heaven. Paul found joy in that. He found joy in the fact that he belonged where God was. He belonged where his Lord was and that he was going there one day. Find joy there. And then finally, we can find joy by giving Christ our all. When you read the book of Philippians, you can't come away without a sense of how much Paul had committed himself to his Lord. He had given Christ everything that he had, to the point that he was in prison now, and even there he continued to say, if I die or if I live, Christ will be exalted. Because that was his goal, after all. He gave Christ his all. And I think part of the reason why Paul was able to say, rejoice in the Lord and I rejoice in my circumstances, is because he had given Christ his all. There's not much joy in serving Christ half-heartedly. Have you ever met someone who just seems to be wandering in life? They don't have any driving motivation. Perhaps they don't have a job and they don't have any motivation to go get a job. They just sit at home all day and they don't have any understanding of why they're here, what their purpose is. They're just kind of there. That kind of person does not have any joy. They cannot have joy. You know, God created us in the very beginning. You can go back into the book of Genesis chapter 1. God put man in the garden and told him to cultivate it and keep it. Man was created to work and to accomplish things and not just anything. We were created to accomplish God's work, to be in His service. And when we realize that purpose and whenever we give ourselves to that purpose, we realize what we're here for. And when we have that purpose as our driving motivation, then we find joy, true joy. We can find joy in giving Christ our all. I believe it was Paul Earnhardt who said, if you want to have joy, quit throwing your life in 50 different directions Instead, bundle it all up and give it to Christ. I think that is so true. There's not much joy in trying to serve two masters. The world on one hand versus Christ on the other hand. You know, when we try to do that, you can't have joy because you're always battling. Well, which one am I going to serve? Which one am I going to give my loyalty to? You can't do that and have joy at the same time. So if you want to find joy, commit yourself entirely to serving Christ. True joy is found in doing His will and obeying Him. You think about in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the apostles, after they had been beaten and scourged for preaching Christ and told to not preach Christ anymore, they went away rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. So is your service to God a source of joy to you? I think it ought to be a source of joy to all of us. And then we can rejoice in the Lord. Well, finally tonight, I want us to think about how we can express this joy. The book of Philippians teaches us that it's good for us to have joy, but also that we need to express this joy. I don't know about you, but sometimes we feel uncomfortable expressing joy. I'm not really an emotional person, to be honest with you. And I find it uncomfortable to always try to be a happy person. That's just not in my nature. I'm more reserved, reserved and quiet is the best way to put it. But what we need to understand is that you don't have to be an outgoing, extroverted person to express joy. God has created all of us with different personalities. He's created some people with jovial personalities. It doesn't matter what happens to them, they're going to be happy. But God's created also people who are more reserved, people who find it more difficult to express what they're feeling. But God tells us, or the Bible tells us, to rejoice always. What that tells us is that any personality can find joy, can express joy. Yes, even you. You can express joy no matter what your personality is. Again, you don't have to be the most bubbly person in the world. Being a bubbly person is not really what it means to rejoice in the Lord. But anybody can express this joy in the Lord. It might make us a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But try it. Try to express your joy in the Lord. I just want to share with you two ideas that might help us think about ways we can express joy in the Lord. First of all, I think joy can be expressed in our worship and in our songs. One of the ways that the Bible says we can express our joy is by singing. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? Then let him sing praises." Cheerfulness or this joy can be expressed in singing to God. I think of, again, Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were in Philippi, incidentally, preaching the gospel, and they were in prison, and after having been beaten with rods, they're in the stocks in the middle of the prison, and at midnight, what are they doing? They're singing and they're praising God. Well, they found joy somewhere. I'm sure that they felt the pain in every bit of their backs. They were probably bloody from the rods being beaten on them. But somewhere they found joy. They found it within themselves to sing praises to God. We can worship the Lord. And I wonder sometimes whenever we sing together here if we are truly rejoicing in the Lord. You know, there are some songs in our hymnal that don't. It's not appropriate to sing with a joyful spirit, like Night with Ebon Pinion or anything that talks about Jesus' sufferings. It's not really good to feel joyful about that. But at the same time, there are songs in our hymnal that we sing very often that need to be sung with joy. Faith is the victory. And how can we not sing that song when we are really thinking about what it means? How can we not sing it with a triumphant spirit? Faith is our victory. Or we sing joy to the world whenever we sing about Jesus coming to this earth. How can we not sing that with joy? I feel sometimes that we're uncomfortable with expressing any emotion in our worship because we don't want to get to the point where we're like many churches that are just emotionally driven. And obviously we can't be just seeking emotional fulfillment in our worship. That's not the point. But in our desire to get away from that, sometimes we go to the opposite extreme and we don't want to show any emotion at all. But brethren, worship really does require some emotion. It is an emotional thing. And so don't be afraid to express your emotions whenever we're worshiping the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord whenever we're singing to Him. And a second way that we can express our joy in the Lord is by thinking about ways that we can talk about our circumstances. When someone asks you how you're doing, if every time you answer that you're complaining about something, how can you express joy in the Lord? I think joy can be expressed in the way that we speak about what we're going through. You know, there's nothing wrong with being honest. If you're suffering one day, there's nothing wrong with saying, "Boy, I just don't feel good today." There's nothing in the world wrong with that. I'm not downplaying that. But even in those times, can we find something to express joy in? Can we find something to express that we have confidence in the Lord? That we have some comfort in the Lord? I think we can. You know, even when we acknowledge our suffering, we can express joy in God. We shouldn't dwell on the negative all the time. So how can you think about your circumstances and the way what you're going? How can you talk to people about what you're going through? My point here is not to tell you these are ways you ought to express your joy. But really what I want us to think about tonight is how can you express your joy? These are just two of my ideas and two ways that I think I can grow in my joy in the Lord. But I want you to think about how you can express your joy in the Lord. For every person that might be different, you have to decide. First of all, if you're going to be joyful in the Lord. But secondly, you have to decide how you're going to express that. And how are you going to do that? Are there some adjustments that you need to make to your attitude about your circumstances? You need to change the way you think about things. Do you need to change the things you dwell on? And if so, then do that. Do you need to change the way you speak about your circumstances? If so, then maybe you should do that. Maybe you just need to adopt a more joyful disposition as we think about who we are as Christians. So we think about rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How different would your service be to God if you rejoice in the Lord more? I have a feeling that all of us would be a little bit different if we truly rejoiced in the Lord more. Do you have that joy in the Lord? The first step towards that joy is committing yourself to Christ. If you have not done that, then do that. If you want to find this joy, if you want to find a purpose in your life, then follow Christ. Become His disciple. Be baptized. As Paul says in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Actually, that was Ananias to Paul. If you want to do that tonight, why don't you stand and as we sing.